quorum. Item 16, Mr. Briggs, any cards?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is the time for the public to comment to the board on any items that are not on our agenda. Mr. Edwards, Jeff Edwards, Julie Tacker, and Steve Schimmick are the three cards I have. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Good morning. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a 30-year resident of Los Osos and a 25-year supporter of a wastewater project for the community. As many of you may know, the California Coastal Commission held a substantial issue hearing in mid-January in Huntington Beach. And at the conclusion of their hearing, they found substantial issue, which means that they will be scheduling a de novo hearing on the project. They have assumed jurisdiction of the wastewater project. Notwithstanding the comments that you heard from your board liaison, Mr. Pettit, I would submit to you that the county is not doing well. They're struggling mightily with this project, and they are diminishing instead of embracing the comments and the issues raised at that substantial issue hearing by the commission. The key project component, and it's always been kind of the Achilles heel of the wastewater project in all of its iterations, is the disposal plan. What do we do with the treated wastewater after it's gone through the treatment plant? This is a point that the county needs significant work on. The backdrop, as you probably know, is a rapidly advancing seawater intrusion in our lower basin. This is where we derive our primary drinking water supply. The lower basin is literally at a tipping point due to seawater intrusion. The disposal plan that the county has offered to date has a winter time disposal component that should work. That's the Broderson location many of you may have heard about. The project's proposing to surface water discharge at the Broderson site during the wintertime, which should take care of about half of the treated effluent. However, the summertime recharge is the summertime disposal component is the difficult part. To date, the county's embraced an ag reuse and an urban reuse plan that's simply not feasible. In fact, this is one of the items the Coastal Commission has asked for additional information. We can't rely on the Broderson site 100% for the summertime and year-round discharge, for that matter. The Coastal Commission wants to know how they're going to implement this plan. Last May, I appeared before this board and raised a couple issues. One, who's responsible for seawater intrusion? Is it the county? Is it this board? Is it the state board? And I am happy to report to you that through some correspondence with Senator Maldonado's office, the State Department of Water Resources has stated that this issue falls under the jurisdiction of the County of San Luis Obispo, specifically their Flood Control and Water Conservation District. So now at least we know. Mr. Chairman, may I ask for another minute?
One more minute.
Very good. So, and I'll submit a letter from Maldonado's office that outlines that. So that was one of the questions. The other question is we had a task one and task two that were looking at parts of our water basin for long-term yield potential, and those still aren't complete. And that was last May. We thought they'd be done last May. Now they're under peer review. We just don't know. Your board's leadership is needed now more than ever to expedite this process, not slow it down, but to expedite it. We don't need spray fields. We can't rely on Broderson 100%. And we can't, your board can't continue to enable the county to make bad decisions, which is what's happened historically. We need a summertime disposal plan that has a high degree of seawater intrusion mitigation. It's a water project as much as it's a wastewater project. Lastly, I'd like to suggest, as I have before, that what we need in the summertime to complement the disposal plan, we need a surface water discharge in the upper reaches of Los Osos Creek.
Can you wrap it up?
Outfall during dry weather.
Can you wrap it up, Mr. Edwards?
Yes. Please work with the county on an NPDES permit for the surface water discharge. We'd prefer to get back to the commission in April as opposed to August. Let's move it along. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Tacker?
Good morning. I'm Julie Tacker. I'm a 39-year resident of Los Osos, and I, too, support a wastewater project for the community. As Mr. Edwards mentioned, the Coastal Commission has taken issue with the project, and one aspect that they did take issue to was something that I raised to their attention, and that was the decommissioning of septic systems. In 2006, there was a suggested enforcement action from your board on the community of Los Osos for a sort of pumping regime. And as you might remember, that kind of got us in a little bit of trouble with the APD, Air Pollution Control District, and that would constitute a project in and of itself. And this is where I think your board, your staff, can help the county is in developing a plan to decommission the 5,000 septic systems. The concern is that we wouldn't want to upset the wastewater treatment facility in Santa Maria by the additional volume of septage that is an interesting material and taken too quickly could alter the operations at their plant. So we wouldn't want to do that. But even down to the detail of having, say, two pumpers in a block working on in a neighborhood, and then the trash day, and perhaps a fire truck, becomes a problem for the community. And so that kind of plan, an operational plan, has yet to be designed, and then, of course, now the Coastal Commission wants to see that one is in process and maybe some implementation dates with it. We want a project, and I think the Regional Water Quality Control Board can help, and we can get this done a little quicker with that help. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Schimmick?
I have slides.
Thanks. Oh, I'll wait a second. So my goal and intention here is just to bring something to your attention. I'm not asking for action. May come back to the board at some point and ask you, even though you're poor too, asking for money, but here we go. So you may have seen these throughout irrigated ag areas in the state, especially in the Salinas Valley and Santa Maria Valleys. These are rodent poison bait stations. Most of them are actually marked now that say poison, and they're loaded with poison. Sometimes poison just pours out of them onto the ground. And we're about to come into the season when these things are going to get loaded up and will, in fact, be like this at times. There are lots of them. On most fields that have a contract for leafy greens, there is one every 50 feet around every pond, along every fence, along every road, along every ditch. So one field might have a bunch. There are literally tens of thousands of these in the Salinas and Santa Maria Valleys. Sometimes those ditches get flooded and the rodent bait stations go underwater. I do have a close-up picture. I did not bring it today. But this is an entire row right here that are underwater. Sometimes, there's stormwater, and they get in the water. Sometimes they're put within the sprinkler line. The two chemicals that are used are, and pardon me if I mispronounce this, are difenoconazole, which is most often used, and zinc phosphide. This comes directly from the Ag Commissioner's office. Difenoconazole is highly toxic, class 1. It's highly toxic to mammals, moderately toxic to fish. Rainbow trout especially have high toxicity, think steelhead. Slightly toxic to birds. Zinc phosphide is just highly toxic across the board. And they are toxic to fish, so we're talking water, and this material is in the water. Both are restricted-use pesticides. That's it. I just want to bring this issue to your attention, the fact that this is in your water. Nobody's looking at it. We would actually like to look at it. It would be an expensive project in that. Really what the question is it in a water and is it in the food chain? And so what you're looking at is probably not only water samples where you're looking for a specific chemical, which tends to be fairly expensive, but then you're also asking the question, is it in tissues, which is a whole nother piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Question for staff. What do we know about this?
I know there are a lot of them. I've certainly observed them, as Mr. Schimmick points out and has shown nicely in his photographs. In our ag order draft, which we just put out on Monday, distributed to the board, we deal with toxicity, and I don't know that we deal with these bait stations specifically in the order. I didn't think so. But to the extent that these problems in water that Mr. Schimmick is referring to translate into being detected as toxicity in surface waters, then it would be included as a potential source of toxicity. You also mentioned the food chain issues and that this is a restricted chemical, which means it would be, I assume, subject to regulation by the Department of Pesticide Regulation. But and one of the things I was wondering about as you were speaking, Mr. Schimmick, is if, in fact, it would translate into our either acute or chronic toxicity determinations in surface water, and that's something we will certainly look into. If it does turn up, then it's something that we would be addressing in terms of the total toxicity picture in addition to all the other pesticides that are used in agriculture. But we are not addressing it as a separate item at this point. Doesn't mean we can't. The reason for having a draft is to comment on it and make changes to improve it. For example, one of the things that we've added in the draft ag order that we didn't have before was pretty much a direct result of the creek dogs who have come before the board several times and brought up the issue of plastic material from irrigation tape and that sort of thing getting into the creek. And so we've added a prohibition in the draft order addressing that issue. So as these ancillary issues associated with ag come up, it's something we will figure out the best way to address it.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. And Mr. Briggs, thank you for helping us to understand how these kinds of emerging problems can be integrated into the programs that are online now and coming permits, including these conditions. So the question I have, and I see that we still have our state board member here, we know that food safety and the whole leafy green problem is something that we in this region have had to contend with. The state board staff, I know, had been working on it in the past. And, I learned that state board staff, like many of the things that are changing because of staffing limits and funding limits and so forth, we don't have as active a liaison with food safety folks. And possibly this is true also of Department of Pesticide Regulation, but I sure would like to know what they may be doing about this, because this is really prolific. And everyone, I think, has been stunned by those little white tubes. I know I've heard comments about it now for well over a year, maybe 2 years. So we're all very aware of it, but what are the programs actually doing? What actions are in the pipeline? And let's see if we can also coordinate. Now, the constraint we have is that regional board staff is no longer actively working on with that food safety coordinated effort. That was my understanding, and so I took it to I brought it up to Ms. Spivey Weber and noted that we need state board to help with this, And then when I was at the Water Quality Coordinating Committee, I spoke with Daryl Pohemus about it, and he said, no, it's a back burner issue for them. They've had to reprioritize their program as well. So here's something that's falling through the cracks. We know it's falling through the cracks,
right.
But it's clearly, you know, this is not an issue that should be on that list.
Very briefly, there's a couple places where it's falling through the cracks. First of all, when you talk to US EPA, there are programs to work with the growers with a grower partner, which would be hard for me to have, frankly, to reduce the use of some of these. But you can't argue that you should be reducing it unless you have shown that there's an impact and there is no money for studying to see if there's an impact. So it's kind of a catch-22. Frankly, they told me that I should come to the regional board, and I know you guys are probably about as poor as I am, you know, as my organization. I mean, there's no money for monitoring, but clearly that would be the first step, is to figure out if it's in the water, is it in the tissues, is it a problem? Probably as far as the toxicity question and as far as the food safety goes, it falls through the cracks because, frankly, it is not directly a food safety issue. The rodent bait stations are there as a marketing, part of the marketing agreement and the super metric, but they're not part of the leafy green marketing agreement. So that's a problem. It falls through the cracks there. It's just a neglected issue, and there's no money to study it. And there's really no money to deal with it because nobody has studied it to see if there's an impact.
What about the grants? Any grant funds available through the different propositions? Would any of that be available for studying something like this?
I suppose it could be. I don't know if anybody else can help me out here, but I don't know if I haven't seen this issue being addressed in those grants specifically. Angela Schroeder.
Could it fit the criteria if someone were to prepare a grant proposal?
Angela Schroeder, Ag Regulatory Program. Currently, there's very little, if any, money available for these research type of grants. It's all for planning and implementation at the moment. Hmm. There's little of that available.
Angela, while you're there, I know I also had a chance to speak with sorry, I'm blanking on the director's name of EPA, US EPA. Somebody tell me her name. Alexis Stiles, thank you. She responded to my comments to Daryl Pohemus at the Water Quality Coordinating Committee and mentioned that they are looking at the gap, and they are, as part of their whole program, assessing how US EPA can help to shore up some of the areas that are, you know, that are common to the federal and state level in terms of water quality, and food safety is on their list. But how do we make that connection? I mean, there may be funds from US EPA for emerging contaminant research. I'm seeing no from Mr. Schimmick back there. But again, you know, unless we do our best to raise the problem as a key unknown, it's prolific in our region. How do we comment to US EPA that this is a need and a gap that we feel, you know, should be on someone's short list somewhere?
Well, I know that Jill is continuing to participate in some of those discussions. We have sort of lowered the priority and aren't as able as we used to. And actually, frankly, the discussions aren't as frequent as they used to be, but we still are participating in the gap discussions and LGMA discussions.
Thanks for clarifying that, because we didn't mean to imply that we're completely dropping coordination. We were just trying to cut back on the number of meetings. A lot of them were actually getting repetitive. So we are still keeping involved, but at a reduced level as far as the food safety issue goes.
Okay. I just wanted to ask if Mr. Schimmick can leave those slides with the staff.
Yeah. Yes, sir. On your computer right now.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Good. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
So, yes. Mr. O'Malley.
I wanted to comment on that last item, if I could.
Go ahead. And again, it's a concern to me that we often get into situations that have multiple jurisdictions, and I think in the agricultural community, they get in some catch-22s of trying to obey various regulations. But on the flip side, this is something that falls between the cracks, and we do need some combined jurisdictions. Just looking at those pictures, I'm a little surprised to me that there isn't some regulation on the device, because I know myself, I have some bait traps, and I had to pay a lot of money for the one that I have because it doesn't allow other animals to get in, and those look like you pour in the top, spills out the bottom. And you know, if that's a legal device, it just seems like there's a lot of liability related to that, and maybe that's something to look at for the cross jurisdictions. And you know, I do just want to support the board. I think that's something that should be looked at by multiple jurisdictions.
Can this come back to us at some point so the board can get informed? I mean, even maybe a written report, I think, to us would be fine. We don't.
Yeah, I was just thinking, though, that as I mentioned with other things that we've added to the ag report, okay, that we got this draft out, and okay, I'm basically taking this as a comment on something that we should be addressing as part of the okay ag order.
All right.
So we're in the process, and okay, consider this early comment, I guess.
Okay. All right. That's it for public comment. All right. Only two to go.
Gonna make
we're going to be out of here by noon. All right.
Close.